Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Blessed Father's Day to all fathers, and of course, remembering all mothers, we want to extend this to all parents. All right, let's come to the Lord in prayer before we start off with our sermon for today. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, indeed, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for fathers. We want to thank you because today is a day where we remember the sacrifices and all that our fathers have done for us. And ultimately, Lord, we want to be reminded that you are ultimately our Father in heaven. And we want to use this day to remember especially our fathers and also remember our parents. Lord, we ask that you bless us today with the word. And we pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit will be here to guide us to understand your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the calling to fatherhood. Obviously, this is not a really easy message for me to prepare, even more so to speak, because this is only my second year being a father. All right, so I have a kid. She is about 1 year plus. All right, so I have a really, 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 really long way to go. But for some of us here, we have perhaps children, grandchildren already. And some of us, we have already, child that are graduating from the university or from the colleges. But nevertheless, I believe most of us, is not all of us, we are at a role where we are called to parent or to give guidance, to lead the younger generation. So if you are not a father today, if you are not yet a mother today, hang on, because you are also called to lead God's children today. Be it in the ministry, be it in the Sunday school, or it could be your nieces, nephews. Somewhere or another, I believe that God will prepare you to minister to the younger generation. Now, I understand that it's not easy for us to be a parent, to be a father. And how difficult can it be, maybe some of us ask. Let me show you five photos. All right, I'm going to show you five photos. Look at them. Hold on to the first point that comes to your mind. All right, and then I'm going to ask you a question at the end of the fifth photo. Okay, are you ready? This is an example of how hard it is to be a parent or to be a father or to be a mother today. This is the first photo. The second photo, the third photo, and the fourth photo, and lastly, the fifth photo. Now, do you still remember all these photos? Now and then you may, All right, these are among the five areas of life. But the question is, as a parent, at which picture do you think our children will stop linking God to the pictures? At which photo? So obviously the first photo is a church, so okay, we can talk about, thank God for this church building that we managed to raise the fund to build it, and this is the building that we worship in every Sunday. Then the second photo. Do you still remember which one is the second photo? Okay, let me just go back. All right. So when we talk about Desa Park City, what comes to mind? Wow, good management. Clean, tidy, very nice place to live in. Third photo, Bukit Kiara Trail or any other trails that you may have. Wow, this place is so nice. It's so cooling. It's so wonderful for us to spend a day together. And of course, we have the famous contributors of science. We have Sir Isaac Newton there that talks about and contributed in different fields of science. And lastly, we have, and of course not the least, medical technology. We are able to see that there are improvements in our medical condition, in our health, all this. So which picture do you think our children will stop linking God to the pictures? Which one? Is it the, it shouldn't be the first, first should be the one that, you know, I think at the moment that we are doing a great job, that we're linking our children to God. But some of us, we just do it on Sunday. Sunday is a place where we worship God, our Heavenly Father, in the church. Full stop. What happens to Monday all the way to Saturday? Monday all the way to Saturday are the four remaining pictures and even more. Where is God in the midst of our life? Now that is the challenge of our being a parent, being a father, being a mother, especially when we talk about Christian parenting. Where is God in the midst of our life today? And our role as a parent, this is a very important role. Nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tool to form a human soul. Nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tool to form a human soul. This is taken from Paul David Tripp on this book, a really nice book. I will encourage you to buy it, to read it, because he has indeed blessed me, even before my parenting journey started. Nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tool to form a human soul. It could be your own child, flesh and blood. It could be those under your care, whether it's a Boys Brigade ministry, whether it's Sunday school ministry, whether it's any other ministry that you are involved in. Nothing is more important than being used by God to form a human soul. And of course, in this very slippery world, we notice that it is not easy. As I mentioned just now, it is never, never easy to be a parent. But we thank God that we have the guidance from the scripture. And some of us may say that, yeah, parenting, we are, you know, learning as we go. You know, we are running at the same direction. Some of us, we may think that, you know, 1 degree of course or 2 degree of course, you know, it should be fine because ultimately we should reach our destination. We should be able to bring our child to God eventually. Let me share with you a story. The power of 1 degree course correction. Now, there was a tragedy back in the year 1979. This happened in the Antarctica. There was a passenger jet that carries about 257 people. Left New Zealand for sightseeing flight. Okay, so unknown to the pilots, both of them, they were experienced, they were well-established pilots, but unknown to them, there was a minor 2-degree error in the flight coordinates, placing them about 27 miles to the east of where the pilots thought they were. Now, if you have been to Antarctica, everything is snowy white. You can't really differentiate the sky and the, you know, anything at all, because everything is white. So as they approached Antarctica, the pilots descended to a lower altitude so that they are able to see the landscape. But because of the 2-degree differences, they are not aware of the incorrect coordinates that place them, as we can see in the picture. They thought they were on the sea, but ultimately they were on the way to Mount Erebus, an active volcano. So needless to know, the plane crashed into the side of the volcano, killing everyone on board. It was a tragedy that brought about by a minor 2-degree, just 2 degrees, 2 degree in angle. Now, 1 in 60 rule states that for every 1 degree in a plane that veers off course, it misses its target destination by 1 mile for every 60 miles you fly. And the further you travel, the further you are from your destination. The one point that I want to bring to your attention this morning is that one small action or small actions accumulated over a very, very long time makes a huge difference. Small actions accumulated over a very long time makes a huge difference. Now, as parents, we don't really have a guidebook. You know, we should do this, we should do that. But even more so today, we have too much resources. So much so that, hey, we do not know which one we should follow, which one we should fall onto. And as parents, I understand and we understand that we want to do our very, very best for our children. And very often time we give them a lot of good things, but sometimes we are lost in giving, so much so that we do not know why. Why are we giving them this and that? And we get swallowed up in the daily grind of parenting. And as a result of that, we lost sight of what we are working or what we are building for. So most of the time, we have resources, we hear about seminars on how to raise a happy, successful children, how do we deal with temper tantrums, how do we deal with kids who are whining, how do we get our children to eat healthy meals, what to eat, what not to eat, the many how to answers, and how to questions and answers. We have all this made available to us. But parents, fathers, mothers, what we really need is a big picture of parenting worldview that can explain, that can guide, and that can motivate all the things that God has called us to do as parents. So hopefully after this sermon, we as parents, we can carry the burden of parenting in a very different way. We are going to carry the burden of parenting God's way. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The one big mistake that we always do as a parent is that we take too much ownership of parenting. We think that because the child belongs to us, we can do however we like, wherever we like, you know, so that they can too grow according to the direction, the general direction that we think is correct. So ownership parenting versus ambassadorial parenting. First of all, we are going to look at four different areas that, you know, some of us as parents, we may have veered slightly off course. In terms of identity, work, success, and reputation, sometimes as an ownership, you know, as we own our parenting, we are looking and doing the wrong thing, even though we may say that we want it for the best of our child. So very quick, identity. Identity is a place where we look to find your sense of who we are as a parent. So for owner, right, those who have or those who practice ownership parenting, you know, they are looking to get their identity as a parent, their meaning as a parent, their purpose, and inner sense of well-being from their children. Because they cannot get it, or because they do not know who they are, they are trying to look for identity, meaning, purpose, and inner sense from their children. So it doesn't really matter who I am. I am so-and-so's father. You have lost your identity. But for ambassadorial parenting, we are secured. We are motivated, and we represent. We understand that we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We have meaning. We have purpose. So that's the first one. Now for work. Work is defined as the work that we have been called to do. It is defined as the work that God has called us to do. So or so we think. So as the ownership parenting, we think that it's our job to turn our children into something, somebody. But for ambassadorial parenting, we understand that we are never anything more than representatives of someone greater, someone wiser, someone more powerful, and someone more gracious than we know we can ever be. Ambassadorial parenting understands that we represent God, our Father. Success, what you define success to be. For ownership parenting, we tend to work toward a specific category of indicator in the lives of their children so that they can tell the people around that they have been successful parents. You see my daughter, you see my child, they have been to piano lessons, tuition lessons, ballet, this and that, and this and that. I believe you have even more comprehensive lists than I have. We try to define success by how well our child perform. For ambassadorial parenting, as parents, we face the scary truth that parents have no power at all to produce anything in their children, especially in knowing God. Because if our direction is wrong, by the time your child reaches his teens or her teens, sadly to say, they may not know who this God is. Even though this child could have been raised since young, in the church. And lastly, reputation. What tells people who you are and what you are all about? So ownership, parenting, they will turn their children into trophies, like what I mentioned just now. They have lost their sense of identity and meaning. I am so and so's parents. My reputation is based on how well my child behaves or performs. And ambassadorial parenting understands that parenting sinners. We have to understand that. Our child sinners just like you and me. They will make mistakes. They will so-called screw up in a way. So understanding that parenting sinners will expose all of us to public misunderstanding and embarrassment. Very often we put all this responsibility to the church. It could be the tuition center, it could be also in the school. Because we believe that, you know, we have paid them, you know, they are supposed to teach my children to be such and such, they have to accomplish this, they must understand and pass their exam. And of course the church is supposed to be the place where the Sunday school teacher is teaching my child who God is. Brothers and sisters, the church, the school, the tuition centers are not designed to replace parents. They exist to assist, equip, and support us in doing the work only we can do as parents. The most important thing that a child could ever learn about is the existence, it's about the character, and it's about the plan of God. Like the five photos that I showed you earlier, they will be able to consistently see the signs, the created world, the church, the Sapak City, the nature, science and technology. But they will consistently fail to see what the signs, what all this points to, the existence and glory of God. They can see all the things in the world. You can bring them to overseas. You can bring them to anywhere you want. But parents are there to point all this stuff back to God. Because only parents will be able to do that. God has met us so that we would be ready to introduce His glory and His grace to our children. And this is why parents are so, so valuable. Because we are to point our children to God. Now, the Hebrews, they were extremely good, in a way, successful at making religion an integral part of life. And their reason for success was that their religious education was life-oriented and not information-oriented. They use the context of daily life, whatever they experience in their daily life, to teach about God. And the key to teaching your children to love God is stated simply and very clearly in the verses that we are going to explore in a while. So, if you want your children to follow God, first of all, you must make God a part of your everyday life experiences. You cannot only talk about God on Sunday. You cannot only talk about God when you pray before the meal. It has to be throughout your life with your child. Or else you'll be having a very detached lifestyle that says that, you know, God is only before meals, before I sleep. You know, you'll be able to, you are going to see that your child is going to segment their life where parts of their life, God is never present. Be very careful, brothers and sisters. Be very, very careful. Eternal truths are most effectively learned in the loving environment of a God-fearing home. So let's look at what does it mean by a God-fearing home. The calling to fatherhood, motherhood, parenthood. First of all, parents yourself, you must be able to understand who you belong to. What's your identity? What is your meaning here on earth? First of all, confession. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So first of all, as parents, we ourselves, we must understand who we are. We must understand to whom we belong to. Our God. When we have the capital letter L-O-R-D, it refers to Yahweh, the one who created the heaven and the earth. God the Father, God of Jesus Christ himself. And this is the declaration and this is the confession right after we have the 10 plagues of Egypt, if you are familiar with it, in the book of Exodus, and the deliverance from slavery. And here God is saying to his people that I am your God. And I am one. There's no other God beside me. So if we are not careful as a parent today, you notice that our child will have many gods. They will be pursuing different paths. They will be pursuing different areas of their life that may go against what God calls us to be. So first of all, as parents, we need to confess who do we belong to? Who we are. Secondly, the commandment here is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And we can see that again in the book of Matthew and Mark where Jesus replied and Jesus responded and Jesus again stressed on this. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So we look at these three parts and we thank God that it was a general, what do we call this, commandment. We don't have how to love God. The scripture says, with all your heart, however big your heart is, all of it, all your soul, and however strong you are, all of your strength. So when we talk about heart, it refers to the inner part that relates to affection, that relates to our will, and that relates to our devotion. So the whole of our being. The strength refers to all the strength of the person. If it requires you to go out of your convenience to serve God, that is the way you love God. And in terms of soul, this is something special. It refers to the life, the consciousness, the breath, the essence of a person. And this is why we are different from animals, from plants. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And the man became a living being. We are special. We are created in the image of God. And because we are created in the image of God, we have the capacity to love. We have the capacity to love. And love is an act of the will. And love leads to action. Love leads to action. And we see that very clearly in the book of John chapter 3 verses 16. For God so loved the world that he gave an action. His one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The giving of life to save all of us, including our child. Including our child. And lastly, consistent communication. This is where most of us will fail. We may declare, we may confess that, yes, God, we belong to you. Yes, God, I am your child. We may also say that we love God with the best, to the best of our ability. But sometimes we are not consistent in our communication, especially to our children. Let's look at verses 6 to 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you see it at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Basically, all walks of life. Every part of your life, talk to them about who God is. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. How many of us do this consistently? Now, the Jews, they took it literally. So they have this thing called Tefillin, all right? It is, as you can see from the photo there, all right? They literally bind it around their arms, pull it in front of their forehead, between the eyes. And inside the little box between the eyes, as you can see from the photo there, there are four scriptures mentioned inside, written inside. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, verses 13, 11 to 16, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, and 11, 13 to 21. The scripture was written, stored inside the little box, literally, as they obey God's command. And the next thing that we see is mezuzah. All right? The word in front there is Shaddai, Almighty God, it means. And inside this little container is written Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, 11, 13 to 21. So they literally tie them as symbols on your hand, bind them on your foreheads, and they write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now the home is to be the center of bearing testimony to the truth of the commandments from God. How do we do it today? Obviously, we don't have the Tefillin and the mezuzah. So some of us at our home, we have all this plaque. Placing the commandments into the very core of our heart and diligently teaching them to our children, both by our example and words. But some Christian parents think that is okay, just enough, as we have this plaque at the front of our door, here and there, to decorate, to actually let our visitors know that we belong to God. And some of us actually stop here. That's it. So for our children, if we are not careful, they are going to see it as, okay, we are Christian. We are proclaimed Christian. But we don't really see God inside out of our life. So for brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that this is wrong. But sometimes we have to, rear back to the direction that God wants us to go and point in our daily life who this God is. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. As we close, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give them the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect. Our child is the first one, or rather is the one that is going to spend a long time with us as they grow up. By the time they are 16, 18, when it's time for them to leave their home, they may realize that the things that our parents ask us to do when we are young, the things may no longer be applicable to them because in a way they are free. So how do we communicate this? How do we communicate our lifestyle as a Christian to our child? The answer is start from home, start from young. And let me encourage you with this verse before we close. Malachi 3:16. Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honored his name. God knows what we are going through. And God has provided his grace for us as parents especially. It is not easy to take care of children today, where they are exposed and they have access to internet way, way before they are ready. Fear the Lord. Talk about God in the house. Do not be fearful as a parent. Yes, we understand that, we sin, we have made ourselves a wrong identity, We have focused our work, our success, our reputation at the wrong place. Start now. Start today. It is never too late to reassign and realign yourself as we confess to God, as we remember what God has commanded us to do, and to consistently communicate this out to our young ones. Do physical things or our value of career success, ministry decision, and commitments make it hard for us to faithfully play our role as a parent? How has the value of career success impacted your commitment to the work that God has called you as parents? As parents today, I want to encourage you once again to wholeheartedly commit to God's commandment, to diligently teach the commandments to our children, and to strongly witness and testify of God's commandment before men. It is never too late to start now. This morning, God is calling us to be a better parent. A parent that follows His command, and a parent that parents or do parenting according to God's way. Will you answer God's calling to you this morning as a parent? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that as parents, as father, as mother, Lord, we may have fallen short of your glory. We have got it wrong in the first place. And Lord, we understand that in the small minor mistake or the small minor change in the direction, Lord, as we go by in a very long time, it's going to land us at the wrong destination. And we pray that, Lord, in our parenting, we will not lead our children to a place where they are going to crash in life. We pray that, Lord, you grant us your grace, you grant us your mercy, that as we come before you asking you for your forgiveness, Lord, as we have made mistakes before this. And we want to pray for all parents today, Lord, that as they continue to do their role, be their part in the family, Lord, we pray that you will continue to grant us the strength. You will continue to grant us the humbleness, the humility, so that, Lord, once we come before you, we also have to show our children that we are sinners just like them. And we pray that, Lord, a time of reconciliation for those who have already made mistakes, a time of healing, especially for those hurt that is not healing for so far, Lord. We pray that today is a time where parents, where father, where mother come before you today. We are going to uphold our family to your hands, knowing that, Lord, you will continue to guide us from this point onwards as we put aside all that we have planned for our children and go back to how you have taught us to raise our child. And we want to pray that, Lord, our home will be a home that teaches your word. Our home will be a home that testifies of your love to the neighbors and to the people around us. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless us, especially our parents, our children. We ask that, Lord, you continue to have your mercy and grace upon us. Grant us strength, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.